Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Have you sensed the presence of the Lord this morning? Has He been ministering to your particular needs this morning? If you like something in the song or something in a word, or maybe while you were in prayer that the Lord spoke to your heart, I'm convinced that God is increasing the volume of His speech to our hearts, if that makes sense to you. I think God in this last hour... Not, you know what, it's really interesting. I've been preaching the coming of Jesus Christ for 40-some-odd years. And I was convinced then when I first heard the story of Jesus Christ and then studied about it in Bible college. And in pastoring, it was always an emphasis, along with, you know, sharing your faith and, of course, growing in the Lord at church and so forth. But I am more convinced today than ever before Jesus Christ has come to set us free so that when the trumpet sounds, we will be free to rise in the air and meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Praise God. That's just rich stuff, isn't it? Yeah, give God a hand for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to share with you, I'm going to be preaching and sharing out of the 8th chapter of the book of John. By the way, there should be, if you don't have a Bible, there should be, well, not your front row people, but there should be some Bibles in the pews. And if we are running low, we have more in the office to put out. And if you don't own a Bible, you may feel free to take that Bible home with you. And it's yours, a gift from us, because we believe the Word of God is so important for you to read and study. I do have to apologize, though. Those pew Bibles that you're free to take home with you, the print is pretty small on them. Therefore, I don't own one of them because I can't see that small anymore. But do feel free to take a Bible if you don't own one. Take one of those as a gift from us, just telling you how important we think the Word of God is for you. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, John has got to be everybody's favorite book, amen? If you've not read in it or only read parts of it, you can't miss the message that... John is preserving for us in this book. His full intention, in fact, he describes himself, John, the writer of this book, describes himself as the man who laid his head on the breast of the Lord at the Last Supper. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but how significant the Last Supper was, it had great significance in the Jewish religion because it had to do with Passover. But it became the monumental moment for Christians, because a new covenant was delivered or established that night. What do I mean by new covenant? I mean a new agreement with God and anybody who would believe in Him. Anyone who would accept God's offering. Now, what is God's offering? Offering of eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So God offers us eternal life through Christ, and anyone who believes that receives forgiveness of their sins and are given eternal life and are declared holy and righteous and so forth. And so John declares himself as the one that was loving the Lord so much that he just got real close and snug. Does that make sense to you? Snuggled up to him. I don't know how you do that. The picture you always see of the Last, anybody ever seen a picture of the Last Supper painted? Yeah, everybody shows them sitting at a table like that. That's really not the way they ate food in those days. I don't know if you know that or not. Most of the time you laid on a bit of a couch-like thing and you laid down to eat. Now, I'm serious. That's some serious eaters, isn't it? You just gonna lay down there and just kind of shovel it in, I guess. I don't know, but it was the custom that, in those days. By the way, however you pictured, I think that picture is a beautiful picture of what was taking place. But you can't read very much of the Gospel of John without realizing, first of all, that love is the focus. God's divine love for humanity. Not just humanity in general. That's true. He does love all of His creation. Not only the wicked sinner, which I once was, But the Christian and those who follow hard after him, he loves them all the same. He loves us the same as he loves them old sinners? Absolutely. He loves them so much, he wants them to be a part of the family of God. And he loves you so much because you made the right decision and accepted Jesus Christ. And along with accepting Jesus Christ comes a lot of awesome things. And I want to give you the general overview from the 8th chapter in what Jesus says to some Jewish believers who accepted him as their Savior. Now, you got to understand some things about this. But let me read the scripture first so you know the context of what I'm talking about and so that you'll be able to follow along with me and I don't confuse you too much. But in the 8th chapter, 31 and 32, I want to read for you, and I'll kind of explain the context as I go along here. Then said Jesus to those Jews, now these people are hardcore people, Jews who are religious Jews or even secular Jews and just ethnic Jews. They are hardcore people. What they believe strongly so much that it dictates everything in their life. So you can understand that they're very religious people. And for them to come to the understanding who Jesus Christ is and believe on him is major. Hello? And so Jesus says this to those who believed on him. And this is a word of encouragement I'd give to anybody who accepts Jesus Christ. If you continue in my word, then are you my students indeed, my disciples indeed. And verse 32 is the most scripture I want you to focus the most on. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You've read that scripture, I'm sure, pretty much. If you've read through John, you've read it. And maybe you've gone back to it to focus on it a little bit because it's an encouraging word. I like being free, don't you? I like to be able to drive through Buena or on the freeway anytime I want to. I can choose my own direction. I can do what I want. And we can argue that those points, all kinds of those points, what you can do and what freedom means and all that kind of thing. But I think for our context this morning, we're talking about spiritual freedom. We're talking about spiritual freedom that comes by having a living, loving, healthy, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Meaning that every day I try to live in a way that is pleasing to Christ. I live so that others can see Christ in me, and I live so that I can encourage others who have Christ in them, and I live in a way that I think is going to be pleasing to my Heavenly Father. Amen? And so the spiritual side of that is very important. But there are other aspects of freedom that I want to touch on today that I think are important. And I like the scriptures of John because couched in it is the whole context of God's desire to touch every individual. Yes, he addresses the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves the world, but technically, he loves those who accept his Son differently. He loves everybody. He loves those who don't serve Jesus Christ. He wants them to become a servant of Christ. He loves those servants of Christ so that they will be more like him and they'll be more pleasing to the Father and that they will especially be a light on a hillside so that the rest of us that are down here in darkness would be able to see that light and glorify the Father which is in heaven and be drawn to that light. Who is the light? Jesus Christ is the light. And so all of that is predicated that somewhere along the line, and my belief is that before he created anything, people, planets, galaxy, or anything, he loved his creation. Out of his creative power came the object of what he loved prior to creating it. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit loved us before we were even created and provided a plan for us because he said, you know, I want these people to love me. And you can't make people love you. I don't know about you high school students, college students, and you got your eye on the quarterback of the football team, and he's just so darling and all that. I assure you, you can't make that quarterback love you. I don't care how gorgeous you are or whatever. You can't make anyone else love you. That beauty queen, wonderful. You send her flowers, you send her chocolates, and you send her a new Mercedes, whatever. You still can't make her love you. Amen? And God cannot nor will he make you love him. And part of that is the great joy that makes us different from all the other animals. There's some pretty awesome animals in this world, but man is superior to animals because not only does he have intellect and reason, he has free choice. He's able to choose who he loves. And did you know love is a choice? It's not a feeling. I know you feel real good when the quarterback throws, you know, a touchdown pass and wins the championship and you're just oogling over that guy or the gal wins the crown or whatever. The greater part of what we don't understand is that we can't make him love us, but that doesn't affect our emotions. We still have emotions. But we don't live by our emotions. We live by our will. If we let ourselves be directed by our emotions, most of the time we find ourselves in big-time trouble. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We find ourselves in trouble because emotions are not reliable. Hello? But your will can be reliable because you can choose, and love is directly related to your will. I will love that person. That person may not love me, and I can't make them do that, but I choose to love. Before God created anything, he chose to love you. Think about this. He chose to love you before you did anything wrong, before you were even created. He loved you when he was thinking about making the universe. And so if God is motivated by love, he created out of love. He created man out of love, all the surroundings, all of our environment. And as far as I understand scientifically, to the best of our knowledge, we're one of maybe just a few, if possible, but we haven't been able to go there to find out, planets in the whole galaxy universe that can hold life, where life can exist. Scientists can't find a place where man can exist, or plants, or animals. That's why they're wanting to shoot to Mars to see if there's water there. If there's water there, it's possible for perhaps life to grow. And of course, they're dreaming and imagining billions of years ago, there may have been life there. Folks, let me clue you in on something. The earth is not billions of years old. Sorry. You want to talk about that theory? We'll talk about it after church. We don't have time because I could spend the whole time talking to you about how old this earth is. I believe that the earth is a short lifespan. You've been taught differently, and I was taught the same thing in school. But I was sent to the principal's office because I argued with them. I wasn't even a Christian. I argued against evolution, and I argued against long life of the earth and all that baloney and so forth. But I really don't want to get off on that subject. What I want you to know is that God loves his creation, and you're part of it. In fact, you're the superior part of it. You're the part that God really focuses on. All these other blessings that we have are just God giving us wonderful blessings to sustain our life and to have a regular life and so forth going on. And God has provided all that, in my opinion. But I want to focus on something that God has provided for us. And I want you to kind of contrast it with perhaps maybe where you're at. So I want this to be encouraging. With all the background I've given you here, I want you to understand that Jesus' intention in talking with these believers, brand new believers, these people just believed in Jesus Christ. Something was happening in them, and he encourages them, and he addresses the religious part of it. This is not religion. These people believed that because they were in the lineage of Abraham, everybody that knows anything about Jewish religion knows how important Abraham is to the religion. Abraham is the one that God gave the promise to give the promised land to. You know what I'm talking about? And that from him would be a big nation, a great nation, multiple people would come out of him, and his offspring, other nations would spring out of them, and so forth. And so Abraham is the big patriarch of the Jewish religion. So they put a lot of stock in who Abraham is, and because God gave him the promises and then did give him the promised land. Fulfilled the promise. And so they got the wrong kind of religion. They don't have a religion that honors and believes and trusts and loves their God. They got the kind of religion that because grandpa went to church, I'm going to heaven. Amen? Abraham went to church. Abraham was right with God. I'm one of his children, so I'm right with God. You know how convoluted that thinking is? Because God clearly through the Old Testament has tried to show you, look, I've got a Messiah coming that's going to forgive you of your sins. It's not who you were born of. It's who you were born again of. That God gives you a brand new life. And that's the important thing, and that's been the emphasis even through the Old Testament. So you see, these are people that have the wrong thinking about God and a relationship with him, even though they understood that God had told them that he loved them so many times and in so many ways. And he does the same thing to us today. And what's interesting about this, and I want you to catch on to this, is that the emphasis that Christ makes here is that if you continue to follow me, and you could, that's why I offered you a Bible this morning, if you would follow his ways, his word, that you would be free. Free of what? Free of religious restriction. That's part of it. Free from condemnation. Free from the things that debilitate you as a human being and prevent you from having all the blessings God wants to put into your life. Amen? And so we have the potential to receive all of God's blessings, but sometimes we don't see clearly what we possess in the Lord. And let's be real honest. When you think of freedom as an American citizen, who are the freest people on the planet still, even with the fact that we're losing some of our freedoms by encroachment of different government agencies and so forth, and whatever, we can fight against the government whatever we want to, but that's not my point. You can have your opinions about the government. We still are the freest people on the planet. And that's an awesome thing because it's something we should cherish. It's something we should cherish as a people. It's something that we should cherish as individuals because it is the foundation of all of our other freedoms, the fact that we have been so free. And the other thing of it is our spiritual life, our freedom to be as spiritual as we want to, that may be the most supreme freedom that we have. And I think the one thing that we should embrace the most as Christians. As Christians, we should embrace the freedom that Christ gives us, even above and beyond the freedom we appreciate that our great country gives to us. Amen? Because I think they're two different things. I think they're related, but I think they're two different things. And one of the ways that you can kind of understand where I'm coming from this morning, because I can get convoluted sometimes, is to show you the contrast. Let me show you a bit of the contrast today. And maybe God will speak to your heart. Maybe God will be touching you this morning. But I think it's good for you to know what you are free from, first of all, before you can fully appreciate what you are free to do and to receive. Does that make sense? I don't want to be too elementary about this, but sometimes going back to the basics sometimes enriches where you are today, and I know you're all just super spiritual people, so this just is old hat stuff to you, but it might just give you a little bit of encouragement this morning. First of all, you're free from religion and form. Religion and form. Religion is a good thing in that it represents God, hopefully. Not all religions do, but Christians' religions. There are Christian religions that spend a great deal of time and emphasis upon form. We do our service when we gather together, and we have a lot of form and formality and different liturgies and things that we do that are to be intended to be inspirational and encouraging and so forth. But what happens with form and religion is that they tend to push relationship away. Because when God and you have a relationship, there are things that God has done for you and will do for you that have nothing to do with the form and the formality of what you do on Sunday morning. I come to this church because I have to. I'm the pastor. Anyway, there are times when I don't want to come, but my wife makes me. But the reason I come to this church is we don't have any form. Have you figured it out yet? Well, we have somewhat of a form, but it's such a minor form that it is not something that we focus on so that you are encouraged and inspired by the form. We do on occasion have communion periodically, hopefully regularly enough in that context. We have communion. Periodically we do baptisms for those who accepted Christ and want to follow him in baptism. And so we have some form. And on a Sunday morning, we have a very simple format. We have worship. We pray for people during that time of worship. We think that's very cohesive, and I think that's very unified in that. People who have a need that really need want people to stand with them in prayer, that's a perfect time to do that. While people are in worship and inviting the presence of God, that's part of our format. That's what we begin with. We receive an offering in support of the ministry that's going on. Then we have maybe a special song while that's happening. We try to do two things at once if you haven't figured that out, except the preaching. He has to do that all by himself. And then we have the Word of God delivered. by whomever is delivering it at any particular time. So that's not much of a form. It is a format. Because we believe that the form that we're so, that mostly are interested in is the free form of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit, who is Spirit, moves like the wind. You just felt the air conditioner come on a second ago. I can feel the wind, and I can feel the effects of it, but I can't see it. And Jesus Christ described him that way as well. You can see the wind affecting the trees and the branches, but and you still don't know where he's going or what he's doing. And that's what the Holy Spirit, we believe in letting the Holy Spirit of God, who saves us, who regenerates us by the blood of Jesus Christ, applying the blood of Christ to us, we believe he should be free to do what he wants to do. Because I think he's in complete cooperation with God the Father and God the Son. So when the Holy Spirit is moving, the Father and the Son are in agreement, and when he calls you out or he ministers you or something impacts you in a song or a message, or maybe God just blows you out of your seat by touching you and anointing you. All of that is God's freedom in our midst. We want God to be free to do that. Aren't you free to do that? That's the kind of freedom we want. So we're not restricted. You're free when you find Christ. You're free from form and religion. And you then now know a relationship with God. Is that making sense? Because why? God wants to have... God is a being, a living being, that wants to have a relationship with the people he loves. That don't sound too far-fetched, does it? Kind of basic, I understand. But I think I need to hear this morning. I'm free from religion and form, so I can come here and I can raise my hands in my singing and my worship and my praise. And our ushers, well, they'll look at you and they may want to determine to throw you out, but they'll let you alone as long as you don't hit the person next to you. You know what I'm saying? So you're free from religion and form. You're also, because Christ has come into your life, you are free from sin and the consequences of sin. I don't know if that affects you or not, but that's a pretty good statement to me. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I know for a fact that you guys have sinned. What? Oh yeah, you're Christian. But I also still know for a fact Christians sin. You're all not wanting to admit to that, are you? Well, let the pastor admit for you. There you go. Okay, now we're all the same. We know that. The great thing about being a Christian is that we have the capacity and the opportunity provided for us to go to Jesus Christ once again and be refreshed and renewed in him. You see, as I shared with our membership class this morning, when we have sinned after a Christian, we have to deal with that sin. Before you're a Christian, Christ deals with all your sin. But after you've been washed in the blood and you sin, he wants to wash it in the blood again. Does that make sense to you? And he wants you to live purely and righteously as he desires, as he lives also. And so you're free from sin and consequence. I know Jesus Christ. He bore my sin on the cross. I'm free from that. I don't have any more consequences for that. I no longer have to feel the other things that come along with that. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from anxiety. I'm free from pressure. I'm free from all the things that come like condemnation and rejection and people no longer wanting to have anything to do with me because of my lifestyle. I'm free from that because my lifestyle has changed because I have received the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my heart. Therefore, I am free from sin and consequences, guilt and condemnation. I'm free from destructive relationships. This is one thing you need to understand. It's why preachers encourage you. Don't go where you used to go after you received Jesus Christ. Oh, you're free to go there. But you might be influenced by them again and lose out with what Christ has done for you. I don't know how many people that I've seen receive Jesus Christ. I probably never know how many. They've asked Christ to come into their life, dramatically saved, give their heart over to Christ, really hot and on fire with Christ, going to church, can't get enough church there, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're not even supposed to be there because it's youth night, but they're there because God's there, and they go, all that kind of crazy thing. And then about 2 or 3 months later, they are still hanging out with their old friends, and instead of trying to win their friends to Christ, their friends have won them back to their old lifestyle. Am I making sense? And so we're free. We're free from that. We're free from destructive relationships. We can walk away from destructive relationships and realize that with Christ, I am brand new in all my relationships. Hello? That God wants to make you whole, complete, total. He wants you to be totally born again. And there's really no such thing. Well, you're born again, you're born again. But he wants you to be totally sold out so that his blessings can flow into your life. Now, God's going to love you. He's going to bless you. He's going to chase you to kingdom come. But there comes a time, if you keep rejecting him, that he's not going to chase you anymore. He's going to let you have your way. That's why he encourages it through the word and through preachers and whatever to encourage you. Don't live that way. Get away from those destructive relationships. They'll only drag you down. You are better than that because Christ lives in you. And you are now a child of God, a real child of God. You know, in the 60s, everybody was a child of God, had flowers in their hair. I'm going to San Francisco, put flowers in my hair, you know, all that stuff. Let me tell you something. They weren't free. And they weren't a child of God. They were flower children, but they were not children of God. Everybody wanted you to believe Timothy O'Leary and all these guys that were dropping out and dropping acid and seeing all kinds of giant fluorescent birds and all kinds of crazy things. The one I saw was black with big fluorescent wings. But anyway, we weren't becoming the children of God. You're not a child of God until you're born of Christ, born of the Spirit, regenerated, a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Then you're a child of God. And God wants to bless his children. All God's children need shoes. I was going southern on you and you missed it. But right over your head, I could see it. Just, what do you mean? You all need shoes. Yeah. Anyway, it's an old southern spiritual, black spiritual. Anyway, the great point of this is look what is happening if we realize what we're being made free from these things. I hate to tell you this, but destructive relations is a bad, but addictions, destructive behavior, all these things begin to change in your life. You know why? You don't want to do them anymore. You don't want to do them anymore. Bondages, soul bonds that were not healthy for you, they are broken because you're new in Christ Jesus. And just in general, the baggage that you had before you became a Christian, gone. You're free from all of that. All those things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. New, hello? Verme, when you're 80 years old, it's still going to be new. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when you understand that this liberation that comes into your life takes care of so many of the anxieties and issues that you dealt with that you could never conquer, that always controlled you, always demanded from you things that you really couldn't give, but you tried to satisfy and could not satisfy them, you are free from all of those tentacles of the octopus that try to drag you down. Christ has made you free to be free. Man, that's a profound statement. I'm free to be free. And so if we're free from those things, what are we free to do? What are we free to be? What are we free to receive from God? We're free to receive a loving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Really, what does that mean? That means that God loves you regardless of where you are. And oh, by the way, the other thing I need to add as a caveat to that, he loves you no matter where you are. If you're a Christian who's struggling with issues, have baggage, and all these kinds of things I'm describing that are holding you back from your freedom, Christ loves you enough to help you get rid of those. You see, he loves you so much, he will not leave you the same. He will change you. He will make you new. Yes, all that's true. Why does he do that? Because he sees intrinsic value in you. Sometimes we don't see. Sometimes we beat ourselves up so much that we feel like second and third class citizens. Let me tell you what you are. You are not a third class citizen. You're a child of God, which means something. It means something in this world, and it also means something in eternity. That you have already got your ticket to get to paradise in Jesus Christ. Amen? Pardon me. And so, what's the cause of what creates that? Well, it's the fact that God has the capacity to love so far beyond us that he can look beyond our sin and see how valuable you are to him. And you know what's awesome about that? He loves us so much, he is willing to declare us free, to declare us holy, to declare us righteousness. And not only to declare that, but to impute into your life the very same thing. God puts righteousness in your heart. He puts holiness in your heart. He puts goodness and love and mercy and compassion. He puts all of that in your heart. What a great God we serve. I'd like you to show me another religion that promises you that. There's not another religion on the planet that offers you freedom and free to have a loving relationship with your God without any kind of demands or restrictions that would hinder you from loving him. God never puts a restriction on you to love him. You can love him all you want because he loves you more than you have the capacity to receive. Isn't that cool, knowing God loves you bigger than you can love him? But he does. He loves you beyond your understanding. And you know, a lot of times, especially I remember when I was growing up as a punk kid, I didn't really understand that. Even after I became a Christian. Before I became a Christian, I knew I didn't know a thing. But after I became a Christian and started learning, had somebody mentoring into my life, teaching me the very same things I'm teaching you, I had somebody have that kind of concern that God wanted something to happen in this guy's life. It wasn't until then that I really began to realize what was the most lacking in my life. It was Christ, of course. I wasn't born again, didn't know God, didn't know anything about him, didn't know anything. I had this kind of a belief in him, but I just never had the relationship with him. And what I realized is God has the capacity to love greater than I have the capacity to sin. I cannot out-sin God's love for me. Are you with me? Does that not tap all of us on the shoulder? That's how great our God is. You can't out-sin him. Sin all you want. He's still able to forgive you. He's still able to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your heart. And when I was growing up, I thought, of course, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, and so forth, you think you know everything. You know, you've experienced the world. You know what's going on. You're hip. Gosh, what a dummy. But the thing that impacted me the most is that I did not really understand what love was all about. You know, I thought it was that feeling that you know, oh, she's the princess, you know, prom queen or whatever. You know, I knew all that kind of emotional attraction, hormones, and whatever else was going on. Jeans and Eugenes and whatever, Levi's, whatever was going on in me, I don't know. But I came to the realization, I don't understand, I need that. I realized that I need love. And you can blame it on all kinds of things why you get to the place where you don't understand what real love's all about. But I came to the understanding, I need that. I need that in my life, but I don't know really what it is and how it works. But when I came to know Jesus Christ, the first thing that impacted my life was the fact that God loves me more than I have the capacity to either sin or love him. Either way. And I begin to appreciate, listen, love means, and it doesn't mean you never have to say you're sorry. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's the opposite. Love means you're willing to tell the one you love anything that they want to know. And if you've done something wrong, you will say, I apologize. Amen? That went over your head too? You're too young for that movie, huh? Love Story, does anybody? How many of you saw Love Story? How come you all have gray hair? Huh? Oh, that's not gray, I'm sorry. Anyway, that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Love means you never have to say, I dig the sentiment, but it's not true. It's not real love. Real love is you're willing to sacrifice for the benefit of the one you love. I'm willing to give myself to the one I love. Isn't that true, husbands? Yeah. Wives? I give my all to the one I love. Now, some of you young people, you're dating young chicks and young guys, and you think that this is the one for me for the rest of my life. Let me grab you by the collar and just slap some sense into you. You don't know yet what it's all about. You're learning. I'm not taking that away from you. You're learning. But sometimes we learn the hard way what real love is. And here's the interesting thing about what I'm free to do. I'm free to love God all I want to. And I can express that. And I don't care where I'm at. If I feel the Spirit of God coming on me in Safeway, God's going to be praised. Amen? It doesn't matter to me. I praise the Lord in business meetings. I praise the Lord where I'm buying materials. And praise the Lord here easy, because you all do it. But I've done it in places where praising the Lord is not really welcomed. And that just fires me up the more. Don't you? If you're not supposed to praise it, I'm going to be the first. That's why I went to the principal's office all the time when I was in high school. Because when they told me I could not, I did. But God does not restrict me. He does not tell me you cannot love me. He says, come, let's reason together. I'll make your sins as white as snow. Huh? I'll make you pure. I'll make you free. I'll set you at liberty to love me all you want to. What a wonderful freedom we have in the relationship with the Lord. It's not one-sided. Have you ever been, let me ask you, I mean, just think on the human terms. Have you ever been in a one-sided relationship? You love the prom queen, but she didn't care about you. Anybody? Okay, you know. A few of you know what I'm talking about. That's painful, wasn't it? Painful. Here's the thing about God's relationship. It will never be painful. Not in that respect, because what pain came from rejection and non-acceptance and of course not wanting to have anything to do with you, that's fine. But God never does that. So you never have to fear loving God is going to hurt you. It's always going to be to your benefit and to your blessing. Because God lavishes his love upon us. As I said, God has the capacity to love infinitely. We have the capacity to receive love on a limited basis. We can only contain so much. We contain so much until we just flop on the floor and just voila. Because God, some of you religious people didn't like that, I know, but I liked it. So you're free to have, you're free to love God and Jesus Christ all you want. You're free to pursue the truth in Christ. We're not just talking philosophical truth, we're talking truth. That there is only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ is the liberator of our soul. He's the freedom giver. He's the love giver. He's the one who makes the personal sacrifice for the one he loves, which is you. Yeah, give God a hand. Praise the Lord. And I recommend it. I recommend you pursue that truth all you want to. You're not limited in that in any way. You're free to go as far as you want to in Christ. Okay, you're free to continue in his word. These were the two things that he was talking about, knowing the truth and knowing him. Continue in his word and discover more things about God than you could ever imagine. Amen? Gosh, there's so much to learn and an eternity to discover. And you can live free without condemnation. Free, if you don't have condemnation, you're free to walk around knowing that you're not guilty anymore. And we walk righteously and purely and we begin to declare the things of God and how glorious he is and how awesome he is, and that opens up new doors of blessing to be poured into our lives. And we can live a life of faith and influence. It's not just to us great things come, but it's through us great things flow. Your faith for someone else, we experienced it this morning right here praying for people. I believe God can do anything. So when we pray, I believe God's going to do that. I've got no doubt whatsoever that he's going to do that. So you're free to let your faith have its greatest impact, affect your neighbors, your friends, your family, of course. I've got renegade family members that need to find Christ. And they've got great examples. I've got several who lived the same kind of crazy lifestyle I did, but they came to Christ. And they're great witnesses in our family. And many of our family members have come to Christ because of their testimony. And that's unusual in a lot of respects, because you don't have any respect, or you have respect everywhere else but at home. That's just my son. He's a pud. What do I listen to him for? He's talking about Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And so we're free to let our faith soar and have effect in people's lives and touch their lives and minister to their lives and stand in agreement with my faith and someone else's faith. The Bible says when two or three gather together and they have the faith focused on anything, God will answer that prayer and minister to that. So I think we can live a life of faith and influence for the kingdom of God. And I think we have, and this one will charge you up a little bit maybe, I hope it will cause you to think a little differently about who you are and where you are and how much of an effect you can be. I believe that we are free to challenge our culture. I believe we're free to be so influential that our culture can be changed. These Jews' culture, these Jews that believed, their culture was just changed. They no longer went to church on Saturday, well, after Jesus died. And they no longer worried about being a part of Abraham's family. They didn't put any strength in any of that at all. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. And they were not disappointed. They were now free. And if you knew a whole lot about, and the more you study the Bible, you'll realize this. If you knew how stringent and restrictive the Jewish religion is, you can't touch this unclean thing. Therefore, you can't have milk cooking over here and meat cooking over here. If you splash milk onto that meat, you have defiled the meat. Dairy products and meat products had to be separated. I saw a program where a lady, Jewish lady, had two kitchens. Because these utensils can never be used. You can't boil milk here for whatever reason or whatever, any dairy product, and use that same utensil to cook the meat in. You just defiled the meat. You can't eat it. Do you want to live under that? Jesus didn't want to live under that. You know how I know that? Because when he walked to the cornfield with his disciples, they picked corn and ate it. Broke the Sabbath day. They, on the Sabbath day, were working, picking, not cotton, I was going to say cotton. Guys. Corn, picking corn and eating it. They broke the law. The Sabbath law was broken. And in the sight of the law, they were guilty and should be punished. And Jesus said this, hey, the Sabbath was created for man, not the man for the Sabbath. We were not created to just be so strictly supportive of the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was to give us a day of rest and to give our crops a day of rest when it became Jubilee time. There's a lot of things that are so restrictive. And you folks, we have no idea, folks, how free we really are. We have access to things in God that we don't take advantage of. God wants to bless his people in ways that we sometimes miss out on, but maybe we just don't know about it. But hey, you know, if I honor my mother and my father, I keep that good commandment, blessings and long life come into me. These are blessings promised by God. It's the same way with any of the things. We have access to freedom in Christ that would liberate us from things that would just work against our soul and our mind and our spirit and try to bring us down. Every lie of the enemy is to an effort to bring you down. And if you believe it, you get hooked to it. And therefore, you can't get freedom from it until you get delivered from it. Hello, you with me? Yeah, give God a hand. And so God is offering so much to us. And we sometimes don't take advantage of what God offers those who are faithful and hungry and thirsty after the things of God. The more you search after God, the more you receive, and the more hungry you get. So the more you search for God, the more you receive, and the hungrier you get. And it is a cycle of righteousness that works in your life, and God does such great things in blessing you. So we need to face our culture. We need to change our culture one person at a time. I heard somebody say something the other day. They were talking about, not what I'm talking about, but they were using an example of something, and I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. It's the truth as Christians. And he asked, the question was asked about this particular subject. He said, well, let me ask you something. How do you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant? Who said that? One bite at a time. Amen? In other words, it may look enormous. Your life and your problems in your life and the baggage and all these things may look like major problems, and you know, it's too big for you. And yes, it is. But you can eat it one bite at a time, one faith exercise at a time, one trusting of Christ at a time, one believing in this relationship that you have with God. It's not a threatening relationship, but a healthy, wonderful, growing, beneficial relationship. Because God loves you, you are important and special to Him. Don't ever forget that. Don't let your buddies and your friends talk you into things that are just going to mess up that relationship. Don't do it. I don't care how old you are. Okay. So you're free to do these things, and you're free to soar in these areas. God gave you a vision one time, I think maybe early in your lives. You may not have recognized it as a vision or a dream from God, but I assure you, every one of us have. We may not have known how to interpret it. We may have known a bit how to interpret it. But either way, some of us have had dreams and visions from childhood that we never fulfilled, that we never completed. I wanted to do this for the Lord, or I wanted to be this for the Lord, or God wants me to do this, and God wants me to be a missionary to the deepest dark of Africa, and you're living in Zilla. That don't go together, does it? And I'm not talking just about spiritual activities and ministries. I'm talking about your life and where you're at and where you're going. Not everything is, hey, becoming a preacher. Not everything is, hey, you know, being a Sunday school teacher. But there's a whole lot of stock I think God puts in the fact that you're the best mechanic you can be, and you're the most honest mechanic you can be. Can you say that in the same sentence? You're the best lawyer. Now, I know you can't say that in the same sentence. You get my drift, don't you? I don't care what your vocation is and how you got there. I think the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So where you're at, if you've been serving the Lord, is probably a pretty good indication this is where God wants you. And by you doing that to the best of your ability, going 110%, trying to reflect Christ in everything you do in that vocation, is equal, I think, to any pastor or preacher that leads a group of people. Because you're fulfilling a dream that God has planted in your heart. God has spoken to you. What He said, you may not have understood or knew how to interpret. But God has set you free to follow your dreams. Dreams come from God. God gives people vocations. God gives people purposes. God does things through one person to minister to another one, to minister to another one. It is amazing to me how God orchestrates all these interactions. Have you ever run into somebody just purely accidental and somehow the conversation got to the point where you were hurting that day and that person shared with you how Christ could help you get that pain taken care of? Have you ever run into people like that? Sure. Who orchestrated that? Oh, it's just a coincidence. You were down at Costco. Everybody goes to Costco. Amen? So, yeah. Because you don't buy just one package of jerky. You buy five at a time. That's what I like about Costco, you know. You don't just buy one can of marinated mushrooms. They come with another. It don't matter to me, it costs three times. That don't make no difference. I feel like I got twice as much. That's psychological. But God is a wonderful God. And how do you think He wins the world? One soul at a time. Yeah, praise the Lord. One soul at a time. And so don't look at the elephant. Just look where you want to bite him. And I got a pretty good indicator that God has already spoken to you about that in your life. And that He has some intersecting experiences for you where your freedom and your relationship to Christ is going to be essential for that encounter. When God joins with you and you meet your destiny, God has one for you. Some of you have met it. Some of you have fulfilled of it. Some of you are retired and saying, oh God, I'm so glad I'm never having to go do it again. I understand all of that. But nevertheless, you've been used by the hand of God. And nothing, no vocation is exempt. God will use you to accomplish great things. So what I'm encouraging you to do, and I think you should stand with me. And I'm not going to try to break the record this morning that was broken last week, but I want to encourage you this morning to recognize some things that God has done for you. And I want to give you an opportunity to just where you're at, not having to necessarily come forward and be prayed for. But I want to pray for your dream this morning. I want to pray for your destiny, what God has in mind for you. Because I believe that this little old church is going to impact the world before Jesus Christ comes. I believe that. We've believed that for 28 years. And He has done that in one bite at a time. And He's been doing that. And so I want to encourage you this morning to remember who you are in Christ. Remember the freedom that you have in Christ. And the freedoms that you have from things that you were in the before. But I want to encourage you to start dreaming right where you're at. Even though you may have been used for a long time and you feel like your vision has been fulfilled and whatever, I believe God gives new visions. And I want you to dream bigger than ever before. I want you to imagine and dream and envision greater things in your life. Church-wise, yeah. Spiritually, yes. Yes, absolutely. But I think overall in your life, start dreaming bigger. It's like I told my wife this morning, we were talking about something completely different, but I told her, you know, you can never hit a, of course it'd have to be golf, wouldn't it? I said, you can never hit a hole in one if you never hit the ball. I know you non-golfers are looking at me like, you stupid idiot. Who runs around out in a pasture somewhere hitting a white ball? But think about it. You'll never hit a hole in one if you never hit the ball. I think some of us have maybe fulfilled our dream, maybe not, and it looked too far away, and maybe you've lost interest in it or whatever, or motivation. I want you to know that God wants you to dream bigger. Dreaming bigger requires bigger faith. So faith bigger. Match your bigger dream with your faith and you'll see great things accomplished in your life. That has to do with family, business, everything. Christian walk and Christian life, everything. Just believe bigger than the day before and you'll do greater things for the kingdom of God. And oh, by the way, God will bless you. How's that? Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you this morning that these fine people that you've gathered in this house this morning have been envisioned and blessed with dreams of success in all kinds of areas. Many, many, many of those things have not been achieved because of various reasons. That doesn't matter. You're able to help us reach our dream. If we dedicate our dreams to you and our desires to you, you will help map that and you will help it come to pass. We believe in you because you love us so much that you will look out for us and guide us and direct us and bless us. Father, I'm being selfish this morning. I need a blessing. I need you to bless me, Lord. Bless me, bless me. I'm hungry for more blessings. And I know that sounds awfully selfish, but I can't help it. I just need more of you. And I think everybody here this morning senses the same thing. So I'm praying, bless your people, bless your people, bless your people this morning. Let them achieve more than what they've imagined or dreamed. In Jesus' name and for His cause, amen and amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.